Today is the first Sunday in Advent, a time when Christians prepare to celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ, our holy Lord and Savior.
We begin our preparation with hope.
As we light the first candle on our Advent tree, we remember the promises of God found in Psalm 1 through 30 and Romans chapter 15.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage.
May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that you may be abound in hope. Think about this hope as you prepare for Christmas.
And our thanks to the Hoff family for helping us begin the sacred season of Advent.
This morning we have two New Testament lessons. The first one comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 8 through 20. Let us listen to the gospel. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Amen. We have another New Testament lesson, comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." This is the word of God for us today. Thanks be to God.
I am sad today. I'm sad because just a few days ago, as I looked at my calendar, my paper calendar, week at a time, a calendar with boxes for events for each day, always filled, for we plan months in advance here at Trinity. But a few days ago, as I looked at the box that said DC Encounter Mission Trip leaves, I had to put an X through it. No trip. One of the most transformative youth mission trips that we offer for over 20 years now, canceled. I have been putting X's through such ministries for 9 months, and I am sad. You know that feeling. In one way or another, you have been putting X's through things in your life. Sadness because of loss. We've lost opportunities to be with each other. We've lost time for vacation. We've lost family gatherings. We've lost birthdays and graduations. We've lost campus life and routine events. And now this past week, we lost something of Thanksgiving. And the losses are mounting up, especially because we know that there will be more to come. Loss is a deep and abiding emotion. And we are, in some ways, a nation in grief. One of the most important things that we can do as adults is to teach our children how to deal with loss. Because the truth is that life is a series of losses. And that is not a negative statement, a statement rather of truth. Life is a series of losses, and teaching young people how to deal with loss, and as adults, increasingly learning how to cope, deal, and transform loss is a critical skill. And it is needed right now. But the losses are piling up. And even if we are skilled and experienced in handling loss, and I have some good experience, still there is a kind of darkness that comes with losses as things crowd in, as the piles of losses mount around us, and as we see in front of us, yet probably even more. Darkness brings fear. One of my most surprising experiences of darkness was on a Trinity mission trip a number of years ago in West Virginia. My job on the trip, along with Leslie Felix Mulay, was to drive the supply van to the 5 or 6 sites every day where Trinity teams of 5 or 6 were repairing homes. This was a rural area, and so our job was to pick up items at the lumber yard or other places early in the morning and to drive this van filled with items for the site, for the teams to their sites. So we spent a lot of time on the road, and one of the sites was on the other side of a very unique tunnel. It's called the Dingus Tunnel. Once it was a railroad tunnel for coal. It's about a mile long. And in the 20s, West Virginia stopped running trains through it and made it a part of their road system. This tunnel can take one car wide. And so the first time that we came to the entrance of this tunnel, I had no idea what to expect. Take a look as I drove up with Leslie and realized that we were going to go down this tunnel, but cars might be coming the other way. As soon as we got in the tunnel, I started losing things. Look how tight that is. I lost my perspective in driving. I certainly lost my security and my sense of confidence. And I lost my peace because I didn't know if there was another car going to be coming the other way. And I sure knew I was not going to be the one to back up in this one-lane dark tunnel. Quite the experience of darkness. And I remember losing this sense of calm and peace and perspective. Very memorable. You see, darkness brings fear and anxiety. And this is a dark time in our country. So we wonder about previous darknesses and turn to Zechariah for an example of his dark time of loss. You heard read a moment ago that Zechariah was a priest in the temple. This is just before Jesus is born. He is born into the priestly clan, a line, this Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And the priests would go to the temple by assignment to burn incense and lead worship. There were some 20,000 of these priests, so they didn't get to do it very often. And when they did, it was a really special event. Now, Elizabeth and Zechariah were old folks, way, way, way past childbearing years. They had prayed throughout their lives, please, God, give us a child. You see, in the Jewish culture of the time, to be childless was to almost be shamed. Something must be wrong, the society thought, if you don't have children. They had prayed and they had prayed, but no children came. And now they were old, and it seemed that childbearing was gone. On this particular day, Zechariah goes into the temple for his appointed tasks. And as he is there, an angel appears to him, the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel says, Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. You will have a child, and he will be called John. We would go on, friends, to call him and know him to be John the Baptist. And he will be great. And the first thing that Zechariah says, get this, after a life of praying to have children, now by a miracle in the house of God, an angel telling him, yes, it's going to happen. He doesn't say, thank you, praise God. He says, huh? I can't be sure. How can this be? He doubts God. And Gabriel says, because you doubted God, you will be silent until this child is born. You will lose your voice. The idea of a pastor or church leader losing their voice is pretty scary. I know that. Zechariah lost his voice and entered into this dark time of uncertainty about what was going to happen. Loss and darkness go together. Now, we may not understand why God did that to Zechariah, but we do know that loss was a part of his journey and that God allows loss to be a part of our journeys because loss is a part of life. So have you asked ever, why does God allow such loss in our lives? I believe the Bible gives very clear answers. This Christmas Advent season likewise tells us that God seems to allow loss because that darkness of loss is where light can best get in. Think of it this way. Where does a candle shine brightest? In a dark room. And Jesus himself would go on to say, I am the light of the world. And it was this light of Christ that was born into the darkness of his time. So think with me further about what some of the reasons are that God allows loss in our life, even as we go through losses right now. I think one of the first things that comes to my mind is that God allows losses because loss reminds us and draws us to the comfort of God. When we are lost, when we are feeling in the dark places, we are far more likely to turn to God for comfort. The word comfort in the Bible is an interesting background. Two original words make up the word comfort. Call to be called to, and to come beside someone. It's a little bit like this, I believe. If you are a parent, and you have a young child who's sick, and in the middle of the night, you hear that child crying in pain, in fear. That cry calls you to come beside them. And that's what you do. To be comforted by God is to know that God comes beside us. Here's how Paul put it to the Corinthians. He said, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble who are around us. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so our comfort abounds in Christ. When you and I, friends, go through loss, have you not found that you turn to God and that God mysteriously and miraculously, but promise, fulfilling his promise, comes to you with comfort? Sometimes in unusual ways. Once Sid and Fred, dear friends, who lived across the country from each other, brothers in Christ in the church many years before, once then Sid lost his wife to death. Fred called up right away and wondered, "How are you doing, Sid?" And Sid said to his brother in Christ as a faithful Christian, he said, "Fred, I am very lonely, but I am not alone. God is comforting me." You perhaps know of that feeling of God comforting you in a time of loss. I think that's why God allows loss, because he knows that in those times we stop relying on ourselves and turn to God, rely on God more for the comfort that only God can bring in the midst of hard loss. Jesus put it this way. He said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." That is the promise. And that promise is being fulfilled in the life of a woman in this congregation on hospice, having lost all or almost all of her physical abilities, yet her mind is strong, and who said to me, as she faces her losses and soon the loss of her earthly life, she said to me, "But I know that Jesus is with me." And she is comforted. It is true that loss drives us to God, and we receive therein God's comfort. Second reason I think that God allows losses is because it's in the time of loss when the goodness of people is best revealed. The goodness of people is best revealed. Now, we say, remember, God is good all the time. But when we say God is good, what does that mean? Where do you see the goodness of God? Is it not mostly through other people? And that goodness is revealed especially in loss. When people that you might not even ever expect to step up and reach out and to care and to love and to serve, they do that because the goodness that is within them and in all of us emerges when they see others in loss. Throughout this COVID season, I have been blessed to be on the front lines, and many of you with me, experiencing how the goodness of people in the midst of all of our corporate losses has emerged. And it has been inspiring week after week after week. I think back at the very start when 2,000 masks were made within about 6 weeks because they weren't selling masks out there and they were needed. And our people stepped up and masks came and people walked in and were so grateful for them. The goodness of God through the goodness of people. We had our greetings ministry, remember? 50 people said, "Yes, I will write a note to someone every other week." And those 50 people reached out and shared love, support, and kindness with people they didn't know. 350 folks received those notes for weeks and weeks. The goodness of God through the goodness of people. Folks went shopping for those who couldn't go shopping on their own. They delivered food. We, as a church, in order to help support and give kindness, gave 30 pizzas out to parishioners and community members 5 different times. Who stepped up to deliver them? People who were willing to show their goodness, and they did. The Caravan of Hope in September, some thought early on, we can't possibly do such a big thing in COVID, but God made a way, and 2,200 people received meals, and it was completely safe from A to Z. Because the goodness of people brought them to this place to make the meals and then the next day to deliver them. One woman in our congregation, in the midst of this terribly hard season, was seeing her daughter die and needed rides to the hospital on a regular basis. And 2 or 3 of our congregation stepped up and their goodness shone forth as they took her back and forth and back and forth so that she could be with her dying daughter. in this coming Thanksgiving season as it emerged, someone came to the church and brought 16 complete baskets, Thanksgiving baskets, for us to give out. They did it early in the COVID season. They did it again. A gift card in each one. A lot of money spent for strangers because the goodness of this anonymous person shone forth. And finally, for Thanksgiving, as we were about to give meals out this past week on Thanksgiving Day, someone simply heard about it and said, I want to be a part of it, and sent a check for $1,000 to support that cause. The goodness of people coming out in the midst of loss, that's what happens. And that's what you can do in the midst of loss, is to reach out and share the goodness of God. And think of it this way. If there was no COVID, there would not be these events. You see, good comes from bad, and all things do work together for God when we look to serve through our losses. A third reason that God allows loss, and something that comes from this time of loss, is that loss always stirs hope for the future. When we go through times of loss, as hard as it is, something within us, by God's design, looks to the future with hope. We are designed biologically to be people of hope. Your cells, by God's design, reproduce. That is an act of hope. That is God saying, I want you to go on. We are meant to be people of hope. And when Christ came to that Bethlehem manger, the world embraced the ultimate hope that God intended for us. I like the way Jeremiah put it, in anticipation of God's act in Christ. He wrote, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to give you a future and a what? A hope. Indeed. Out of every darkness, out of every loss, and I say the word every very sincerely, out of every darkness, out of every loss, hope comes. And goodness emerges. And that can be hard to see and experience. And as a pastor, I don't say that to people in the midst of the blood and the crisis and the dying and the death. But I know that all loss leads to hope and leads to something emerging. So therefore, COVID means that good things are going to come out of it. And that's truth. I completely believe that because of COVID, new technologies are going to emerge to enable us to communicate, to solve problems, and to do things we can't even imagine right now, because good will come out of this hard time. I believe that because of COVID, family relationships will grow deeper and more precious, and people will reconnect in ways that will sustain them for the years to come. I believe that because of COVID, we will find ways of communicating that continue to bubble out into the society and the world and bless us in ways that we can't think about right now. And I believe that in the year 2050, 30 years from now, a man will go to his doctor having just received a terrible diagnosis, a life-threatening diagnosis, fearful, terrified about what it means. And the doctor will say to him, yes, it's a bad diagnosis, but let me tell you a story. Back in 2020, when all the scientists were looking for answers and a vaccine for COVID, one scientist discovered something else. They discovered this miraculous medicine. And this medicine that he discovered in 2020, because he was looking for a COVID vaccine, will cure your disease. Fear not. Yes, good will come from this loss, this season of loss called COVID. Believe that, because that is how God has designed the world. And sometimes that good won't come to us personally, I know that, but it will come to God's world. I like what Alex Trebek said. Many of you know about Jeopardy. Karen and I watch it every night that we can. And you know, if you follow this, that the host, Alex Trebek, diagnosed a year ago with pancreatic cancer, died about 2 weeks ago. But he taped 2 weeks of programming that are just now concluding. For his Thanksgiving message, before the show began, this is what Alex Trebek said. In spite of what we are experiencing right now, there are many reasons to be thankful. There are more and more people extending a helping hand to do a kindness to their neighbor, and that's a good thing. Keep the faith. We are going to get through this, and we are going to be a better society because of this. And that is truth. And that is the hope that comes from loss. Yesterday morning, I spoke with my sister, Barbara. She and her husband, Ned, live in in Lafayette. They're active members of the Sussex United Methodist Church and have served there for a long time. And we didn't get to talk on Thanksgiving, so we spoke yesterday morning. And she told me her Thanksgiving story. You see, they had planned to get together outdoors for an outdoor Thanksgiving with several of the children and grandchildren that hadn't been together in a while. And they did a lot of work to be sure everything would be safe and all would be fine, outdoors, distance, and everything. And she was very excited. And then, shortly before, word came that her grandson's soccer team, one of the members, had been diagnosed with COVID. And so the whole team had to quarantine, and the ripple effect of quarantine, you know how this goes. And so within an hour, the entire family gathering was canceled. My sister Barbara said, I was sad and I cried a lot. That's what happens when we have losses. But then she said, wisely as a woman of faith, but I decided to turn my sadness into gladness, and we made a meal for our neighbors who had just had a baby and come home from the hospital on Wednesday. And we made homemade cookies and we took it to them and shared that with this young family, turning sadness into gladness. You see, my friends, that is how it works for people of faith. Losses come, and they will. But the darkness of loss is meant to be transformed into experiences of light. And God invites you to be that light, to be that light in the lives of others, even as Christ is that light for you. Amen.